You sisters know that my skin has been glowing lately, and I'm here to tell you my secret, Oak Essentials. You've heard us talk about their line of luxurious products before, and we're so excited to have them as a sponsor of OK Sister Podcast, because now you can join in on the glowy goodness.
You know Oak Essentials is legit because it was created by none other than our favorite brand ever, Jenny Kane. Oak Essentials is known for its simple approach to self-care with a lineup of foundational skincare staples made with high-quality ingredients that drive results. It aims to unlock healthy, glowing skin with decadent and hydrating ingredients that give you a luxe, dewy glow.
I won't shut up about the Moisture Rich Balm. It's a nutrient-rich balm that supports collagen production and delivers serious hydration for a luminous glow. And a luminous glow indeed. The way my skin feels like butter after applying this balm. This balm will make you never want to wear makeup again. And you can apply generously during your night routine to lock in moisture as you dream. It's the definition of beauty sleep.
Treat yourself or someone else this season. You sisters will get 15% off and a free organic honey-based restorative mask with their first order. Oh my God, what a deal. When you use code OKSIS15 at checkout. That's right. 15% off plus a gift with your first order at OAKESSENTIALS.com. Promo code OKSIS15, OKAYSIS15.
Go ahead and treat yourself. From luxurious skincare to meaningful self-care, you deserve it.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble. With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Welcome to OK Sis Podcast.
Hi sisters, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Scout.
And we are sisters IRL.
I'm the older one.
Yes, Scout, we know.
Here at OK Sis, we believe women are multifaceted.
Which is why you can expect sisterly banter on a wide range of topics such as pop culture, our entrepreneurial journeys, and mental health routines.
We promise it'll be informative.
And silly!
As long as you don't get too loud, Mads.
Welcome to the sisterhood! Hello, welcome back to OK Sis Podcast! IRL, baby!
God damn it. I forgot that when we record in person together, your microphone edit gets so fucked.
Etiquette.
Like you get so loud when we record in person together.
Because I'm just so excited to see you, my dear sister. You're here without the bebe. How does it feel? You're in Los Angeles in my apartment.
Yes. So I made the trek up to LA this morning with baby LK, but I left her with our mother. And so you and I have like a full day together. We got our nails done. We are
now. You guys
now
know that I'm like a
press-on girly.
Press-on girly for the past like 2 years. This is the first time I've gotten my nails done in forever. Mm. And it was so weird. I did not miss the salon.
Yeah, the salon's not the move, but the end result is for like a week and then it's
Honest, do I look like a who?
No, okay, you are arching your fingers back.
I got gel X for the first time and it's like, they're kind of crooked.
No, your nails look better. Like, if you are upset with this, I don't know what the fuck you've been doing for 2 years with those press-on shit.
Oh, no, the press-ons are incredible.
No.
They fit my nails incredibly, and they are not crooked because I have control.
As your sister, I'm telling you that it's been ratchet for a while. Yeah, I'm telling you.
Wait, what are you talking about?
I've told you many times that your press-ons look disgusting.
Oh, my God.
I'm not mean. I'm honest. These are legitimately classy and stunning on you.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know what you've been doing.
Oh my God. You're such an asshole.
I'm not. I'm telling you the truth.
Oh my God. I love the press-ons. I think they look incredible.
I mean, it's so debatable.
I'm Jill House's number one fan.
Listen, I think they looked cute on you for a second, but like, oh my God. Like, you just kept wearing the same ones and I don't think they looked good anymore.
Wow. Wow.
Hello. Okay, welcome.
Honest hour.
Welcome to Okay Sis. I'm Scout. I'm Maddie.
Your hair, bitch.
Yeah, my hair looks not great today.
Your hair looks very bad.
Thank you.
I guess should we do a roast?
No, because I admitted them. I told you that my hair looks bad.
I mean, I don't think it looks as bad as you made it seem, but yeah, it definitely has seen better days.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening. I'm having like 2 weeks of just like bad hair.
Yeah,
weeks.
That'll happen. I have I'm getting the Dyson
hair thing.
Yeah, hair wrap, because I went over to Brett's house because she has it. Oh. And she taught me how to use it, and then I was like, okay, I will not be spending $600 on this.
So did you get it for free
somewhere? So I posted on Instagram stories and I said, hi, does anyone in LA want me to buy their Dyson? Mm. And this girl was like, yeah, I'll give it to you for $200. I was like, fantastic. I'll be there tomorrow.
I think I'm going to do that because I've been wanting the Dyson. I didn't know if it was worth it. I was going to buy it at Sephora, try it out, and then determine if I was going to return it or not.
This is the thing about the Dyson is you need to have a full course in how to do it. Like, I would have never, if I bought it and tried it, I would have returned it because I wouldn't have had any idea how to do it. They need to be better at user guides, or like guiding the user through this experience, because it's a whole different thing than just blow drying your hair and straightening your hair or curling your hair. It is completely different. And unless you have someone like a Brett in your life that is a pro or an expert that, you know, is willing to help you and teach you, you're on your own.
Okay. Well,
you
this
are
is
out
good.
There in the forest of the Dyson, and you're just like, you're grappling at straws.
This is good to know, because we're going to BFF Brett's house tonight for Shabbos.
You're not going to be able to try it.
I know, but I want to look at it. I've never even seen
Lauren
it.
So Lauren is going early to get her tutorial. Brett is having, she has a salon.
Jesus.
She's running another business.
I should have booked an hour.
I know. See, I was, okay, if we finish this podcast, I might actually go over there with wet hair and try it again. Because she thinks I have straight hair. She was like, oh my God, it's going to be amazing. I'm like, Brett, you don't understand. I do not have hair like yours. Your hair is the perfect hair of all time. Like, she has the perfect hair. And she's like, no. No, you just blow dry it and then you do the curl and it's fantastic. We did it. She was like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, your roots. Like, we
I would love to see her try my hair, because I have a mane. Like, the definition of mane belongs to me.
You have thick hair. I don't. I have thin hair.
Thick hair is an understatement with my
hair. Yeah, I have thin, curly hair, which is the worst kind.
And which, okay, by the way, I know that's a really dumb thing to complain about, because like thick mane hair is what everybody wants. But it is like I want low maintenance, and thick, huge, a lot of hair is not low maintenance.
That's why I'm doing the slick back bun every motherfucking day.
I've been doing the slick back bun every day.
I have, this hair has seen hot yoga and a SoulCycle class.
I think I'm going to throw up, because I have roasted you enough on this podcast, so I am going to refrain from.
Did you see my boobs?
No, I'm going to refrain from the conversation we just had in your bedroom to now the hair to, I think, oh my God. I think I'm going to throw up.
Oh my God, relax. You're so dramatic. I haven't pooped today.
That's good.
Oh my God, guys, it's a Friday afternoon. It's like, you can't expect a lot from us right now. You know what I mean?
I mean, I wonder
why I'm laying on my stomach and I'm praying to the gods. Like, geez, like, come on, Jesus. Oh, you know what?
What do you think the expectations?
Legs up the wall.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What do you think the expectations of our community are when they put on Okay Sis podcast?
Okay, so sisters, DM us if this is accurate, but this is how I envision it going.
Okay.
Oh my God, it's Monday. TGIM. Oh yes, a new Okay Sis podcast. I'm driving to work. I'm gonna go for my little girly walk. Let me plug in. Let me plug into the sisterhood. Giggle, giggle. Oh my God, shock. Oh, did they really just say that?
What?
And then, oh my God, I got to write this down in my notes app so I remember this incredible revelation and mindset shift. It's like we have multitudes. Okay. Yeah, we exist. We have multitudes. You know, and the sisterhood benefits from that.
When we started Oasis Podcast, one of our main core goals was that we are multi-hyphenates.
I know. I fucking hate that word, though. We need a new word for that. Multitude. We contain multitudes.
I feel like the world, like, so much has happened in the last 5 to 6 years.
Sure.
That I'm exhausted at just, like, the cycle of trends.
Oh, it's...
And the cycle of words and, like, what gets overplayed so fast and how it feels as if... Even when you're in business or when you're in a content creation, when you're, you know, podcasting, whatever you have going on, it feels almost by the time you execute and get on top of it.
You're behind. No, it's.
And it's exhausting.
So I think about this in perspective of content. But like, for instance, Grammys happened last weekend and, you know, all the memes come out and I get and. Mondays are very, very busy for me because that's when I write my newsletter. So it's like, I cannot sit and make a fucking meme right now. But if I don't, I'm going to miss the moment because I can't post on Tuesday, God forbid. Yeah. It's like the Grammys are over then. So it's like, it's a rat race. It's a literal hamster wheel. You just got to,
Even on like a macro perspective, I'm trying to think of an example and I'm falling short. But I feel as if, like, it just feels as if trends are so trendy, even if it's around for 6 months or 8 months or a year, or, like, everyone's about, like, the mirror selfie, or then everyone's about this. Even if it technically lasts a little bit longer, it also feels like things get so outdated and so saturated so quickly. Like, the word authentic and vulnerable. Oh, if I hear the word raw came after vulnerable.
Oh.
If I hear the word vulnerable on a podcast one more time, I'm going to freak out. But
vulnerable, honest, raw conversation.
You're just going to be like, I'm being really vulnerable right now. And it's like, we need another word now because it's totally fucked. Even
you have
though
to show up as your authentic self.
Yeah. I don't know.
It loses all meaning. And it's kind of like the word community when everyone's like, we're really about community building. Oh, okay.
Exactly.
What does that mean to you? Oh, you just make a Geneva for your community to talk to one another. That's how. Or what? What do you mean? Do you service them? Do you talk to them? Do you do like? Exactly. What are you talking about? Community.
It's like community building or social justice shit that they don't actually do anything. They just say they do something. Or
the
like
word gaslighting. I don't even. I still don't really even know what that means.
Gaslighting is when
it's like when someone. Makes you believe something?
No. It's like if I come to you and I'm having a hard time with something and I'm feeling like I'm struggling with a challenge in my life or an aspect and you're like, shut up. That's like not a thing to focus on. It doesn't matter. Like you just.
So I gaslight you.
You gaslight me. Yeah. Okay. It's like, basically saying like your emotions don't matter and like next.
Thank you, next. Yeah. No, I unsubscribe from the gaslighting. I never knew what it meant the whole time that everyone kept saying it. And I was like, okay, gaslighting, sure.
Now it's a point where you're just like, you're gaslighting me whenever someone hears something that they don't agree with or something they don't want to hear. They're just like, you're gaslighting me. So it took on a life of its own.
Okay, so these are the things. We're making up definitions now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just like getting like, I don't know. It's interesting.
Did you watch the Grammys?
I don't have cable. I don't know what you want from me. Like, I don't know what
Why
to do.
Why don't you log into Dad's cable?
Because you haven't taught me how to do it yet. The same way you need a Dyson tutorial. I need the tutorial for the cable.
Oh, my God. I watch everything on the cable.
Really?
Oh, I know login back and forth, baby.
Does he know that you do that?
I don't give a shit. Okay. I am on that. I am on it.
You know, he's on my Hulu, so I guess he owes me.
Oh, I'm on our uncle's Hulu.
I still couldn't believe you pulled that.
Oh, I don't know. I literally don't know because Hulu increased to like $20 a month. And I was like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
And my uncle was like, oh, come on mine. And I took a screenshot and wrote down.
I know. You were like, no, give it to me now.
I was like, give it to me now. You're never going to give it to me. And I'm there. I'm listed as one of the users.
Do you ever go into his?
No, I don't want to. I don't want to see. I don't want to see what anyone else is watching. Like, seriously.
So we watch a lot of YouTube now because of Lily. Because Miss Rachel. And when an advertisement come on, Lily will just whip her head and look at me.
What
like
do you
she
mean?
She thinks the channel got changed.
Oh.
So now Adam and I are like, fuck, we're going to have to get YouTube Plus because we don't want to watch this crap. You know what I mean?
I hear YouTube Plus is pretty good. Because it's cable and no ads.
You know, YouTube is so fascinating to me because I feel as if YouTube has stood the test of time unlike any other content platform in a weird way and transcends. It transcends things. And I feel like I never, ever, ever got into YouTube.
Yeah.
And I don't feel necessarily like I'm missing.
As in like watching creators?
Like I don't watch anything on YouTube. Yeah. I don't watch creators. I don't watch entertainment. I literally never watch any. I don't even know what I would watch on YouTube. But it feels as if it's a whole other world that is just always grounded and always there. And it's always a good idea, I feel like, to be on YouTube.
Oh, totally. I mean, I love eating lunch, throw on like a 10-minute vlog or something or like a funny video. I love watching Hot Ones. I started watching that. I never had watched one.
What's that?
It's when the celebrities eat all the hot
wings. Adam and I love that.
Yeah. So like,
I'm watching YouTube.
You're watching YouTube.
Wow.
So like stuff like that.
Okay. Hot take on Hot Ones.
Okay.
Don't you hate the music that he puts behind it?
I know.
It?
Yeah, but it's dramatic. Honestly, I would be so good on that show.
It is.
I would be able to eat everything.
Oh, I can't. I can't do spicy.
Oh, I would be so great.
That is a phenomenal
concept. But the thing is, the guy who does it, like, who is this man? And also, like,
he's the guy who started YouTube.
But he started YouTube. But he also, like, is reading off a teleprompter. He's not like, it's not like a real interview. He doesn't do any follow-up questions. He just reads them and then they answer and he moves on.
Yeah, but the answers, I think the point of it is that the answers are very articulate and very long and very specific.
Yeah.
That I think it's this juxtaposition of that you're being casual eating wings and all of a sudden he pulls out like a historical reference of yours from when you were 8 that like how does that juxtaposes against your 18. It's like crazy, his questions.
That's actually true. I know. I really love Hot Ones. And then like yesterday I watched a Chris Clemens. I love him. I hadn't watched him in a while and he's just like a hoot.
I don't think I know who that is. Let me look
that
up.
He's a hoot and a half. He was doing red carpet, Grammy red carpet takes or something, but that's like when you watch YouTube. You know what I mean? Just like a quick 10-minute.
Chris Clemens, the basketball point guard?
Nope. Not at all.
How do you spell Clemens?
K-L-E-M-E-N-S.
Clemens.
Clemens.
I just need to see a picture of him because I have heard this word.
He's amongst the...
Seen this guy in my life.
Wow. Oh, he's fantastic. I think he would be into it. Yeah. What? Okay, we're on a podcast. She just showed me a shirtless photo of him. Are we recording on the right ones? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways. Okay, should we do current fixations?
Sure. Let's do it.
February current fixations. I'm just going to do one that is here right now.
Okay.
I got the aloe candle.
Yes.
It is a Le Labo dupe, okay? It smells like fucking Palo Santo up in here. It smells like Tulum. And it is fantastic. I mean, you can attest. It smells delicious.
Yes, it does. When I came in here, I said, this room smells delicious. What is it?
Yeah. And I like it because it has this larger wick. I don't know if you can see it.
Yeah, I can.
But it's like a incense, I think. Or I don't know.
I don't know. I think
what is the thing that you do your aura? Sage. It's like a sage.
Kind of. Nope. It's just a big wick.
No, but it's like a cedar plank.
It looks just like a long wick.
No, he doesn't.
I'm literally. Oh, you're right.
I told you. It's like a cedar plank.
No, it's like, it's not like sage. It's like a Palo Santo.
Palo Santo. Okay, that's what it is. Anyways, this is their signature candle. It is absolutely delicious. I think I'm going to make a whole video on my favorite fragrances because I have got it down. Like
you know what? I am such an anomaly. I am not a fragrance person.
I lately have been so sensitive to smells and I've been so good at picking out good smells. I need to show you this Oak Essentials perfume that I got. It is also a Santal something. Oh my God.
I wish. Okay.
If I could drink it. Oh my God.
Okay, sisters, let's talk about hair shedding. Does the craziness of everyday life leave you stressed and shedding? Since having kids, have you started seeing a little more of your scalp? Hi, I've been there. When it comes to thinning hair, there are many root causes at play, and Nutrafol addresses them through a multi-targeted whole body approach.
Ugh, thinning hair just isn't the vibe. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. Amen.
Everyone's root causes of hair thinning are different, so a one-size-fits-all approach to hair growth just doesn't cut it. Nutrafol has multiple formulas that are tailored to give your hair what it needs to grow through different stages, such as postpartum, like me. After I gave birth, I noticed that around the crown of my head, my hair was shedding. I've been taking Nutrafol for almost 3 months at this point, and I am not kidding you. When my husband, my friends, my family have been commenting on how long, strong, and healthy my hair has been looking lately. I mean, sisters, if you've been watching OK Sister on YouTube, you've seen my hair.
While many supplements rely solely on ingredient studies, Nutrafol clinically tests final formulations to ensure their efficacy. In a clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after taking Nutrafol Women's Hair Growth Supplement for 6 months. I mean, 86% is a lot of women.
Take their hair wellness quiz on Nutrafol.com for a personalized hair health plan based on your specific root causes. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code OKSIS.
Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code OKSIS. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code OKSIS.
Ever since having a baby, I've been extremely conscious about what I spend my money on and which products I use. And clothing is no different. I want my wardrobe to be sustainable, good quality, and timeless.
You have to be talking about Whimsy and Row, right? Whimsy and Row is an LA-grown, eco-conscious brand born out of the love for cute, comfy, and classic styles. Every piece is made by women for women. Quality goods, local production, natural and organic fabrics. Yes, please give me all the linens.
Just like OK Sister, Whimsy and Row is based on the idea that women are multidimensional. There's a balance of flirty feminine and minimal masculine in all of our wardrobes, and Whimsy and Row means exactly that. From special occasions to everyday effortless styles, their clothing is meant to mix and match and wear on repeat. I have been wearing their Kira pant in black linen probably 3 times a week. Sisters, if you've been listening to this podcast or following me on Instagram, you know that Whimsy and Row's Kira pant in black linen is a sisterhood staple at this point.
Founder Rachel Temko created the brand back in 2014 because she wanted to create an approachable and inclusive brand that cared for the people and the planet first. Get the full Whimsy experience IRL at their Venice location or shop online at whimsyandrow.com. Their store in Venice is so cute, I can attest. And if you're in LA, I highly recommend stopping by. They are always putting on these amazing community events.
They just launched their spring summer collection, and we will be living in it all summer long.
Visit their website, whimsyandrow.com. That's WHIMSYANDROW.com and use code OKSISTER for 15% off.
Okay, this isn't a current fixation of mine, but it's something that I aspire to be. I feel like I'm not setting the mood properly in my house. Like when I walked in here, there was a candle, you had the right music on. I feel as if
I could. You gotta get the Google Home. You gotta get the candle.
I don't know about the Google Home, but I just feel like scent for some reason has never been something that I'm so drawn to, but I understand how it sets the tone. So I think I could do a little bit better in that department.
Yeah. Setting the mood is really important.
Yes. So my current fixation right now is Tony Robbins' Money Book. So I'm reading trilogy. I think the third Money Book in the trilogy out next week or something, or 2 weeks.
Does Tony Robbins smoke cigarettes?
Probably not.
Why is his voice like that?
Oh, I don't know. Probably because he has been speaking on stages for
he's just been speaking a lot.
He's literally been sleeping. I'm sure you could look it up. There's a reason, but I don't know if that's the way he's.
I can't listen to him anymore. It's gotten so bad. That's why I was like, maybe he's smoking.
No, he's definitely not.
I know. He's like a health guru, but when he's on End My Let's podcast, I can't listen. I get anxiety. It's like,
oh,
it's
that's like such a bummer.
It's like nails on a chalkboard.
That's a bummer. I hate it when that happens. I hate it when someone's message is so good, but there's just something that, you can't
get past.
Yeah. The voice is a big one. It's a big one.
He has a very unique voice.
He's a very unique human being.
Is he a wife?
Yeah. Her name is Sage. They just had a baby girl. She's 2.5 years old.
Robbie.
Yeah, it says right here that raspy, rough, and hoarse sound is a result of extended long-term vocal abuse.
Oh my God. So his craft, his career ruined his voice.
Yeah, his vocal cords are damaged from talking.
So much.
Yeah.
Okay, I love the dedication, but sorry, Tony, I can't.
So anyways, I'm deep into his first book, and it's so good, and it gets very dense, and like he goes through what every single different type of bond is. Like, there's a lot there, but the insights that he is providing are so valuable that it is blowing my mind. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read all three. I'm highlighting stuff in the Kindle so I can go back and see all the stuff I highlighted.
Kindle.
And then I'm going to create like a doc of all my notes and all my takeaways and what I want to implement. And then map out like next steps for my family and I on how we want to get there. But it is a phenomenal book. I mean, the only thing that I will say is that as I'm reading it, I don't even know what the first one's called. If you just like Google, you know, I'll put all these core fixations I'm going to put in the show notes, guys. So you can go there and shop it. So I will put it down there. But I think it's Money Master or something. Master the Money Game. What was I going to say? Oh, the only thing is that it was written in 2013, 2014. So as I'm reading it, there's a couple things that I want to be discerning about, because as we were talking about earlier, trends change so much that sometimes financial trends can change as well.
Sure.
So there's a couple things that I'm just like, okay, well, was that in 2014? Is that still applicable now? But there's a lot.
I feel like Ramit Sethi has a lot of that, where he dispels money myths, he's like, everyone says that real estate is the number one, you know, you should buy a home. Yes, that was like great advice when our parents were buying homes. Mm-hmm. But like now that might not be the best financial decision for people. So, yeah, I like that.
But Tony's is more like, I feel like Ramit Sethi is more of daily kind of budgeting and looking at money.
Yeah.
Tony's is like, here is how you create wealth with your money, which I love.
Yes. So. I think I have a crush on Ramit Sethi.
Yeah, I can see that.
I didn't realize he was so young.
How young is he?
He's like your age.
Yeah.
Or like maybe he's like 40.
Okay, wait. Wait a minute. If he was 40, you are surprised that he's 40 and young?
Yeah.
How old did you think Ramit Sethi was?
I thought he was like 80 or like 60.
Wait.
I thought he was like an old man. Like,
not because you looked at a photo of him and thought that.
No.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay, hold on.
Never saw him.
I never saw a photo of him. I've never heard him speak. Just from like his line of work, like being in the money space and how popular he was and how like expertise he was, I thought, oh, this man is like 60 years old, he has like all this expertise, he's telling us all.
My God.
And I see his fucking Netflix special, I'm like, who the fuck is that? And it's a sprightly Ramit Sethi.
I think let me look up how old he is. I think he's like my age.
He's like a cutie.
Yeah, he's super
cute.
How old
is, and I like the way he speaks, man.
How old is Ramit Sethi? 41.
Damn! Okay,
I think he's older. I thought he was much younger than 41.
Yeah, that's why I said I think he was your age. But that...
Am I? I feel like I'm so...
You are a 40-year-old.
I'm like, so... It's like
you're
scary.
40.
I know. It is. I really do feel like I have more in common with 40-year-olds than I do with like a 27-year-old.
Are you 33?
I will be 33 this year.
Yeah. Yeah, you're 40 for sure.
Yeah.
I know. Oh, something very interesting occurred to me.
Mm-hmm.
I have gone through my Saturn return.
Yay!
Well, wait. I thought like that happens when you turn 30.
Yeah, it's like a range.
Oh, so how will I know?
I think you have to consult your astrological chart, but I would say that you have.
I think I have.
Because
there's a difference.
You have. I mean,
the last couple of years have been transformative.
Transformative.
That's so interesting that that's and it's only for women, right?
I think men go through it later in life.
It's so interesting. Like, why? But these I could be wrong. Why these 3 years or like range?
Yeah, it's
so
like I think the range is 27 to 32 or something.
Yeah.
But you definitely are out of yours.
For sure, like, man.
Think about the difference. Think about me when I turned 30. Like, think about the difference of me then.
I know. Yeah, but like, so it's been the same amount of years for you since you turned 30, and you don't feel as big of a jump? I guess with the baby, it's a big
between
jump.
Between 30 to 33 yeah. or 32. The baby is the jump.
Sure. So it's external.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. What kind of, I don't know how much older I would have felt between 30 and 32. Yeah,
like what, like when's the next time you change? Or are you just always changing?
You're always changing. But I do think that.
Menopause.
Well, I do think that they're like the rapid rate of growth from like 14 to 30 is every couple years is a huge transition.
Yeah.
And now I feel, and I don't know this because I'm only about, you know, 32 and I'm still young and I obviously whatever, but I feel as if that gap is starting or that like every 3 years doesn't make as big of a difference anymore. So I could be friends, I feel like, with someone who's 38 or 39.
For sure.
And it wouldn't make a difference to me. I wouldn't 100%. Really see so much of a difference. But that age gap in your 20s is so different. So I think that I'm over the hump of the massive 3 year
Saturn return
cycles, right? And I feel like now I'm just in adult land, and I got adult land as I continue my life now.
Yeah, you're because, like, officially an adult.
Yeah, I think once you have a kid, you
oh, you are an adult.
You're an adult. That's and it. The amount that you see different is shocking.
Yeah.
It's shocking. And so I don't know if I'll ever go through anything unless something terrible happens to me, like God forbid. But I don't know if I'll go through anything as transformative
right.
anymore in my life as I have gone through in the last year and a half becoming a mother. And then before that, my Saturn returns. So it's been like back to back. But now it's like, yeah, I'm a kid and now we... you know, build our life. And now it's her turn. Like, it's like,
it's her turn to live.
It's her turn to live.
It's her turn to be in a, to be a human.
She's got
to
go through all of it now. Oy, sometimes I look at her and I'm like, you, oh God,
you got a hell of a ride in front of you, sister. Yeah. Oh my God.
But yeah, once you become a parent, I think, like, I always used to say that, you know, it's like first you have your bat mitzvah that you look forward to, then you like
the wedding,
then you like graduate high school, then you go to college, and then you get engaged, and then you get pregnant, and then after you get pregnant the first time, like, it's kind of done for you.
Oh my God. Okay, it relax. Is.
What's another milestone that you're going to be so fucking shocked and excited by me?
Yeah, that's the last one.
It's Lily's milestone. Her, yeah. Her well, milestones now.
Her milestones.
Her milestones. My milestones are done.
Well, unless you have another kid.
Yeah, but that's not as exciting as the first, you know?
I fear for the second kid. I fear for my kid.
You fear for your first or your second?
My first kid.
Because both. Why do you fear for the first kid? Because of you as a mom? Like,
no, I fear because Lily is so cute and like everyone's not going to give a shit about my kid.
I will give a shit about your kid.
Oh, thank you.
I really will.
Oh my God. But oh, wait. Oh my God. I'm going to cry. Listen to how cute this was. Me and Benjamin were driving and we were like, oh my God, the day that Lily meets our baby for the first time and she's going to be like the older cousin. She'll be like 5 or 6 years old.
Yeah.
Probably 7 or 8 years old. And like that moment when she like holds the baby. Can you imagine?
That'll be so sweet. That'll be
very
sweet.
And then they're going to become best friends.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be crazy. And maybe by that point, maybe we'll see what my plan is. Maybe I'll have a second. Maybe. Oh and then the second will be more friends with your first.
Right. They'll be a better age.
Yeah. Lily will be the older girl.
So crazy. I can't wait till she talks.
She's starting.
I just don't believe you.
I literally texted our stepsister. I was like, she went up to the dog and said, dog. And Natalia said she did that multiple times just now.
I need to see it to believe it.
She says like 5 or 6 words.
How does she know dog?
Because
she loves Luna.
Yeah, but you don't say dog, you say Luna.
I know. I think it's in her book. There's a couple books where they talk about dogs. And she loves reading. We sit and we read her the books over and over and over and over. So I think that's where she
Do your best Miss Rachel impression, go.
No, I don't have one.
Do it.
I don't have one. Oh, wait. There's this one song that we always sing.
Okay, let's see.
I'm so happy. Jump, skip. I'm so happy. Nothing's gonna bring me down today.
Sounds like a song we used to sing at camp.
I can sing and dance. I can play with my friends.
Oh,
I can roll a picture in the sky. Na na na.
Do you think Miss Rachel is fulfilled? Wait, first of all, let's get her on the motherfucking pod.
Dude, Miss Rachel
is another stratosphere.
I think I looked at one of her videos and it had 80 million views.
Dude, this woman is laughing her way to the bank. She is like, these fucking kids, they don't like, I don't know what they see in me, but I'm going to the bank, baby. Like,
I think she makes, I think it says on the internet, she's estimated to make 5 million a year.
She's the modern comfy couch girl. What was that girl?
Yeah.
Big comfy couch.
But it's amazing because think about how the world has changed, okay? Back then,
we were Barney.
You were talent. You were the actor. So you were Barney, or you were the big fun comfy couch, or
Big blue house. Big
No, the big comfy couch.
No, sorry. Big bear, blue house.
Okay, that
and then
one.
The blue dog. What was that blue dog?
Oh.
Blues Clues.
I think he was
not great. Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying is like he.
But think about it. Yeah. Those people who did those things, they were just hired as the actor of that.
Yeah, now they are their entrepreneurs.
Now they are their own business and they make the money. Back then, those people probably made like literally $30,000 a year.
Totally.
And this is the thing that we take for granted, Mads. Okay, yeah. So I was listening to Bert Kreischer on a podcast, who I love Bert Kreischer. And
who's that?
He's one of the comedians in like the Tom Segura, Joe Rogan circle.
Okay.
I
know the most off-brand thing about you is that you love that like universe, that and you love Marvel.
Yeah, I love Bill Burr. Bill Burr is probably one of my favorite comedians.
That's so weird. That's so weird.
So anyways, he was saying that when he started to be an entertainer or to be a performer or to be in the industry, someone else had to take a chance on you.
Mm.
And when this is like, you should listen to this podcast episode because it's a very, very good episode to really hear about the truths of, even though you thought he might have been famous back in the day, how much he struggled to actually get to where he is today. Mm. And he goes so hard on social. Like, he does all the crazy videos. He's putting content out left and right. And some of his other comedian friends are like, why are you doing this? And he's like, we take for granted that we have this power. Like, he fully utilizes it because it's in his hands.
Yeah, like
to
you
be
control.
Whoever he wants to be. And he's like, the best thing an entertainer can do is control their whole business, their whole narrative, their whole personal brand. And we forget because we grew up a little bit in that era. But by the time we jumped in and did our careers, we had this available to us.
Yeah.
Like, podcasting democratized radio. Like, influencers democratized celebrity.
Yeah. Ooh, look at you with the takes.
Oh.
Democratized.
Oh. Ooh.
I like
that. Now I'm blushing.
Yeah. I feel that. And we definitely take it for granted. And we bitch and moan all the time.
Yeah,
as
I remember.
I said in the beginning of this podcast of the cyclical trends. Listen, like, make your own fucking trend.
Listen, you know, there's always pros and there's always cons.
Always pros.
But I remember reading Sophia Moroso's book, Girl Boss, and she said, never underestimate the fact that social media is free.
Yeah.
It's free. Like,
totally.
It is. Imagine trying to run a product-based business 20 years ago.
No, you can't.
You'd have to take out editorial ads in a magazine and like hope for the best.
Yeah, no, it's insane.
Sisters, my goal these days is to always look put together when I leave the house. Nothing over the top or super dressed up or anything like that. I just want to look put together and feel good about what I'm wearing in an effortless yet refined way. When I look at my closet every single morning and think about what I can wear that is chic and intentional, I usually end up grabbing one of my Jenny Kane sweaters, and I always end up loving the way I look and the way I feel in them.
You all know, sisters, that when I envision my highest self, I am wearing Jenny Kane. Their sweaters are the quintessential must-have item. I cannot stop wearing my Marina set. I throw it on and immediately feel like I'm in a Nancy Meyers movie, like I could just walk on the beach in Santa Barbara. It is the coastal grandma aesthetic.
My favorite Jenny Kane sweater right now is their everyday sweater in taupe. This is the definition of a staple that every woman must have in their wardrobe. Sisters, trust me on this one. I wear it with leggings, oversized jeans, and a little kitten heel or a silk maxi skirt. Legit, Mads and I are so obsessed with wearing our Jenny Kane sweaters that we've literally shown up both wearing the same sweater once. The white alpaca cocoon crew neck, which is this deliciously oversized sweater.
Yeah, that moment takes the cake. Both of us walking in with our matching Jenny Kane sweaters.
We're obsessed. Can't take them off. Wearing them every day. The type of staples that save your outfit.
That is what I love about their entire collection. It is truly the art of simplicity. They focus on comfort, quality, and timeless design, so you can curate wardrobe that never goes out of style.
Find your new uniform at jennykane.com. Our listeners get 15% off your first order when you use code OKSIS at checkout. That's 15% off your first order, JennyKane.com, promo code OKSIS. OKAYSIS.
Let getting dressed be one less thing to worry about.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
I have a really funny story about Girl Boss. I'm sure I've told it on the podcast before. So when I was at USC, we, I don't even know what class this was, but we were tasked with like reading a business book and then like presenting on it. And me and my friend, we chose Girl Boss, and we were talking to the professor. The professor was like so young, like Ramit level young and so hot. He probably was actually you level young. And he was so hot and like so cute, and we're telling him about Nasty Gal and Girl Boss, and he was like he was like, are you guys gonna dress up like Nasty Gal?
No.
We were like, oh no, and he realized it. Yeah, he was like, no. Like, I thought that's the trend, or that's the, like, he was trying to, like, get in on the Girl Boss.
No.
He meant
to say, are you going to dress up as Girl Bosses?
Sure, yeah.
That's probably what he meant. And then he accidentally said Nasty Gal.
Yeah, like, it was.
Oh, my God. He probably went home and he's, like, so scared for his job.
Totally. And we were like, oh, no.
Yeah, but it was so funny. Oh my God.
That would
make me so uncomfortable. But like, I'd feel bad for him because I feel like he wouldn't even do that. I wore Nasty Gal dress like right when Nasty Gal started, and I wore it and I was in Santa Barbara, and I went into a boutique and the girl's like, where'd you get that dress? And I was like, oh, it's Nasty Gal. And we take for granted also that the term Nasty Gal is just like, oh yeah, we know what that is. It's a clothing brand.
Totally.
People thought it was a porn site.
Oh, for sure.
Every single person thought it was a porn site in the beginning.
Remember Man Repeller? Like, where the fuck is that?
Oh, wait, I follow her. I love her.
No, we love Leandra Medina, but like, remember the peak of Man Repeller?
God.
Like, that was peak blog. I used to, every day, I had a rotation of like three websites I would go to. I don't go to websites anymore. Yeah. Who goes to websites? I went to Man Repeller, Tumblr, and then there was one other that I was like in this rotation every single morning.
Yeah.
When do you do that? You don't do that.
I do that, but that's okay.
Oh, what are yours?
Vogue.
You go on Vogue.com?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Man Repeller. Wow.
What a time.
What a time.
Like, it was, and such a bold name, and we all just knew what it was called. Like, we all knew.
Yeah. Did you read Into the Gloss? Because I did not.
I don't think I did. Is it because we're not beauty girls? Probably.
Those were the glory days, man.
Yeah.
Like, that's when, like, influencers were just starting to be really, really big.
It was before all this. It was like...
Yeah.
I don't even...
The sartorialist. I'm going to say that. I totally said that wrong.
Sartorialist, yeah.
That one was great. Blogs. What are the other ones?
Like, they were just
wait,
so
we need to think
blogs.
Of more of them. What other ones were there?
I don't know. But that era of the internet, I think, was my favorite era.
I think that era of the internet was my absolute favorite.
It was just so much more intentional. So much, like, the community. People, like, if you said you liked Man Repeller, like, I immediately knew who you were at your core.
Yeah.
Which I guess is kind of similar if you're like, I listen to The Toast or I... like following this one influencer. Like, I can understand your personality, but there was something about Man Repeller.
Question. Do you feel as if the future of media, brand, content, etc., needs to be so directly linked to a face and to, like, a human voice? Like, Man Repeller, in my opinion, was, Leandra Medine. But it was also a little bit removed from Leandra at the same time.
Yeah,
like it became like an editorial site in many ways. But do you think that in today's day and age, people don't necessarily want a brand like that? They want someone's face talking.
I think that is what it's evolved. But I can also see it reaching its apex and us going backwards to... faceless, you know, multiple voices, really, really strong brand. And because that's something that we struggle with Camber. I think, you know, me being the face of it has given us everything. So I definitely recommend it in this day and age as, like, if someone wants to grow, to put a face or to put, because, like, people just, even if they don't watch the content fully, they fucking see my face everywhere. It's like a subconscious thing. Like, they just start to be like, you're everywhere, because they just see my face so much. So if they didn't see my face and they were just seeing restaurants and here, there,
they wouldn't associate.
They wouldn't.
You're like, the anchor. You're the anchor.
Like, they just, like, see me and they just know, oh, right, I like this type of content, or I trust this person. It has been integral to everything we've built. On the other hand, it's hard now to introduce new voices. What does that look like? Does that mean people, you know, we could do it, but it's just a difficult hurdle. But also, I've struggled with, like, we want the community, like, we built this amazing community, and I want their recommendations to be part of the content. I want them to be contributors. Like, I want them to own Camber as their own identity. But is that weird for them to own it because it feels like it's Maddie? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think with the app, it allows people to do that, where they're like, follow me on Camber, and it'll shift to that when the app is, like, fully ready. But, yeah, it's, like, weird because I think people associate it so much with my face that they don't take it on as their own identity. But then, but then you think of The Toast, for instance. Like, yes, The Toast is very closely linked to Claudia and Jackie, but people call themselves Toasters, and they – so – it can go either way.
Yeah, and I also, I mean, there's pros and cons to each, but, I mean, do you think a brand can build today without that anchored human face?
On TikTok, I don't think so.
Yeah.
But I have seen, there is one account, I'm not going to say it, but they don't have a face, and they do very well.
Can you send them to me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Also, Dumois.
Yeah, but Dumois built it on, like, the whole, like, she built that brand. Part of the allure is that you don't know who she is, but she is still there.
She's Gossip Girl.
Yeah, exactly. She did, like, the Gossip Girl phenomenon.
Yeah, which I kind of like that, because that is part of the allure.
That's what I'm saying. There's still an anchor. There's still a hook.
Right. She's still it, but
she's still it.
You don't know.
Like, can brands, but then again, I think of, like, Vogue, and I was listening to this podcast that I just wanted to, like, I couldn't. It was making me want to scream. Because it was talking about, like, they were, like, trying to, like, call out Anna Wintour, and I was like, just stop. Like, just stop. Just stop.
It was a Vogue podcast?
No, it was a regular podcast, and they were talking about, like, is this Anna Wintour's end of her reign? Like, is this her downfall? Da, 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 da. I'm like, first of all, Anna Wintour has been around for so long. I don't care how the fuck she goes out. Like, respect for what she's built. And there's nothing to call out. It, just because a woman is at the end of her career, because she's, I don't know how old, she's been doing this for like 60 years.
Yeah.
So at the end of her career, you're going to fucking give her this disrespect and talk about how the only reason she made it in the beginning was because she had privilege and she missed this mark 20 years ago. And I'm like, come on, people. Like, like, give an icon the fucking respect the icon deserves, you know? Yeah. And like,
call them out. Who, what podcast?
Everyone is going to get to the age 65, 75, 85, whatever it is, and they're going to fucking stop working. Like, it's not the downfall of Anna Wintour.
It's her, she's going out on top.
Yeah. And listen, I don't think she's retiring right now, but it was just like such, such like cheap, easy, desperate grabs to to take someone down that does not deserve to be taken down.
Yeah, I don't like
I don't like it. It was like so icky and I was really feeling uncomfortable with the conversation. But when you look at Vogue, Vogue is nameless. However, you always think of Anna Wintour when you think of Vogue.
Yeah. So, I mean, there could be that dichotomy. I mean, that's why you see a lot of like forward facing founders and people, you know, whatever. It's just what you decide and what you're comfortable with. And I think if it's the right product and the right positioning, I think it can work anyway. Okay. We only did one group fixation each.
Oh yeah, we started talking.
What time is it? How long has it been?
We've been talking for 40 minutes. It is 5:08.
Oh, we gotta go. We gotta go to Shabbat. We're doing a sister Shabbat. This was so delightful. Okay, so Brett invited us over for Shabbat. She wanted to do a sister Shabbat with Brett, her sister, and Lauren, my co-founder and best friend, and her sister, and then me. And I was gonna be like the fifth wheel, and because I'm like part of the sisters of them, and then Scott was like, wait, I'm coming to LA. And I was like, oh my God, perfect. You have to come to Sister Shabbat.
Yeah.
This is going to be so fun. I can't wait.
I know.
It's going to be like a sleepover.
It's wild for me to be like out past 6:30 out of my house.
Oh.
LK's with her bubby, her bubbala.
So crazy that mom's grandma.
Is it grandma?
But that her grandma name is Bubby. Because that was our great grandma's name, and it's like weird to think.
No, it's nice.
Oh, okay.
I love it. Makes me happy.
Also,
inside.
You know what's not talked about enough?
Tell me.
The way that you have just decided what our parents' grandparents' names are without consulting me. Because now my kids are going to have to call her Bubby.
Yeah, but see, I already had to do that with my in-laws. I didn't get to consult on the in-laws. It's the person who has the baby first.
I know. But like, why don't people talk about that? Like, that's so much power that you hold. And you just fucked me.
Have a baby. I don't know what to tell you. Should have beat me to it.
I understand. But it's just like, I guess Bubby's okay. But no one's going to be called grandma. No one's going to be called grandma.
I'm sorry.
It doesn't bother you that no one is going to be called grandma? I feel like that was like the...
No, because our grandma is alive and her name is... That's the whole thing. That's why we didn't do it, because her name's grandma.
But our kids are never going to have a grandma.
I think a lot of people...
Don't have a grandma?
Listen, mine is out of control, okay? I have Bubby, Zeta, Didi, Papa, Nanny...
Papa's grandma. The worst one. Papa makes me want to literally crawl into a hole. Papa? How did you come up with that one?
We couldn't come up with one. Oh, he just said it, and it
he
was
he said it.
I don't know what else. Yeah, you've never heard of that one?
Oh my God, it gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Okay, why
to
don't
know
you
that our whole life we're gonna have to be like Papa?
Okay, why don't you? We can rename Dad. It's not like Lily knows.
Oh, that's true.
Would you like
Grandpa?
But our grandpa is alive.
Okay, just
it's weird. That to me is like.
Weird.
Grandpa and grandma is our grandma. Like Bubby
how do other
Bubby,
people deal with this?
Bubby
this
was
insane.
Our great grandma, and we, you know, they our Bubby and Zeta passed when we were
away.
Very young.
Sure.
So there's not like this like
association,
a daily association. It's like an homage.
Oh.
But grandma and grandpa are still alive, so we cannot use their names.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And also, those are mom's side of the family. It'd be weird to give them to dad.
Okay.
Give me another name.
I don't know. What about Opa?
We could, I think that's too close to
too
home
close
for
to
him.
Home for him. See, yeah. That's the weird thing is like now
you have
you
to like skip.
You have to skip.
Oh, we can do, I think what his grandparents' names were.
What was it? I think it was Poppy.
I think it was Poppy and
no, but that's
Maurice.
That's
Maurice
uncle.
Is Poppy.
So this is what is so
yeah, but
fucked.
It doesn't matter. Maurice and I guess. I think it was Nona and...
Nona and Papa.
I think it's Poppy. Bubble. Nona and Poppy.
Poppy's worse than Papa. Okay. Wait. Is Poppy worse than Papa?
Yeah, because I love it when you call it... It's like
Papi. Yeah, fuck that. Yeah. Okay. We're sticking with Papa Lee. Yikes.
That's what I'm saying. Do you have a better alternative?
No, I don't. I really don't. Oh, are you dying? Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go to Shabbat because I just got really hungry and like a quenched thirst. Wait, I need to quench my thirst. I have some boxed natural wine to bring to the party.
Oh, like a
sister. Oh, trendy.
Like a trendy.
Oh, do you think I would ever receive non-trendy natural wine?
Yeah, like how you say receive instead of buy.
Everything I receive.
Everything you receive, I know.
It was so funny. After dry January, February 1st, for some reason, I got the boxed wine and I got an Aveline PR package at the same, like, they just knew that dry January. They were like, we're going to deliver this right on February 1st.
Yeah. I'm sure all the alcohol brands delivered their PR boxes on February 1st.
Just like, here you go.
Yeah,
jump on in. The water's warm.
Okay, sisters. Anyways. Well, thank you so much for listening.
What the fuck is the title of this episode?
That's for you to figure out and then to tell me. But thank you for listening to all of our solos this year. Mads and I are working behind the scenes on
huge things coming. Huge.
A little bit of big stuff. So pretty soon things are going to be a little bit different around here. So until then, you're just going to get the two of us until we reveal the
updates,
the new up level. Okay. Right. Well, follow us on Instagram. I'm at Scout Sobel. Mads is at Maddie Mayo. And together, which I need the password because I literally haven't been on that fucking account forever, at OK Sis Podcast. We love you, sisters.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Tracy Dalgleish, clinical psychologist and couples therapist. If there's one thing I know from both my personal and clinical experience, it's that we are really good at comparing ourselves to others. We tend to get stuck in the unhelpful narratives that play on repeat in our minds, and we struggle to set boundaries and create healthy love. Each week, I bring you clinical knowledge and evidence-based research, experiences of sitting in the therapist chair, and being a wife, mother, and business owner to talk about everyday issues we all face to help you change the dialogue in your life. Tune in every Thursday to I'm Not Your Shrink, wherever you listen to podcasts. While I'm not your shrink, I am still human, and I'm excited for us to be in our vulnerability and humanness together.